You are watching and listening to Chris and Lester Till I Die TV on YouTube and your favourite podcasts.
Hi everybody, Jerry Taggart here. Now be sure to watch Chris and Lester Till I Die TV by subscribing on YouTube and following them on social media for all the latest Leicester City news and information. Come on, you foxes!
Net. You're watching Leicester Till I Die TV.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
Right, Chris.
All right there. All right, they're back. Good evening, one and all. It is Leicester Till I Die, and you are watching me. Well, you haven't got any choice if you're watching, have you, really? Because there's only me on the screen at the moment. How are you feeling after the weekend? You've got to be feeling good, surely. Let's start with a little reading. And I think it's only right. I think, you know, after the weekend we've had, let's start with a few words from the good book. Dearly beloved, we are gathered here this evening. Now, did you know, because if you've got this, it's in the Leicester shop, Leicester City, on this day. And on the 19th of October, 1998, was the night when, and it was an emotional night, apparently, at Filbert Street, as Leicester City fans implored boss Martin O'Neill to stay during the 2-1 win over Tottenham Hotspur. And they held up the posters saying, "Don't go, Martin," after Leeds United made their public interest, or their interest public, in Leicester City manager Martin O'Neill. Who remembers that, eh? Well, anyway, how the devil are you all? Welcome along to the show. And this is where you can find us.
Watch us on YouTube.
Listen on your favourite podcast platform.
Or ask your smart speaker to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow and join in now.
1998, Dean. Do you remember that with all the posters?
Long while ago. I do remember it very well. The heady day. I was there at the Sheffield United game when Martin was booed out the place as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, thank God for once.
I knew we were going to be in trouble that day because we had Simon Grayson as a midfield playmaker.
Bless him. if only we knew what was going to happen in years to come. But it goes back a bit. Nothing changes. Players and managers are still, shall we say, wanted by other clubs. You know, I mean, Newcastle, we had felt great for Newcastle for a couple of days. They took over, you know, had this big takeover. Mm. And then 2 days later, we hated them again because they were being linked with our manager and every other player.
But you know what staggers me more than anything, Chris, with modern football is you talk managers' compensation fees for these clubs. And they're talking about, I mean, 16 million was mentioned for Rodgers if Newcastle wanted him, like it was off the Richter. And you're signing average Premier League players for way more than 20 million. And you're talking about a manager that will set the tone for your football club and how outrageous it is that somebody wants 16 million for him. And I just don't get it. I don't get it.
No. Good evening to Nippon. How the devil are you? Thanks for popping on, sir. I think the same is, I think, if you look at when we went for Rodgers from Celtic, I think what we paid them in compensation is less than we would have paid had we bought Eduardo.
Yes.
Well, it's Edward, mad, even. And it's changing him completely by an NL on the end. But it was some things don't change at all, you know. Mm. But I've got to say, before we get into the talk, because we are here to talk about the Europa League this week, but I just want to we talked about this before, but I just want to bring this up. If you haven't already, get over to the BBC website, the Leicester City homepage on the BBC, which is bbc.co.uk/sports/football/teams/Leicester City. If I had that many slashes in that short of time, I'd need a nappy, I'll tell you. But it's the Leicester City homepage on the BBC. And every Tuesday, as I've been saying, I will have a little blog on there. And today, it's all about Brendan Rodgers. And maybe I just might mention a certain 4-2 win as well. Who knows?
And the 80 million. Don't forget the 80 million.
And the 80 million. I was saying to you before, I was on Sunday night, I was on a podcast for a Man United fan, and he very bravely had me on. And it was like me, and on screen there was three other Man United fans, and obviously all the chat was Man United fans. And I think I managed to piss every single one of them off with what I was saying. They're very defensive fans, I've got to be honest with you.
A good reason to be at the minute.
Yes, yeah. First of all, before we get into talking about the game, what a good time to get a performance and a win like that.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's always a good time, obviously, but we
never a bad time. It was a superb performance. Chalk and cheese from what we've seen so far this season. I think we've performed in games in part, but to put the 90 minutes together and dominate possession the way we did. As I said to you earlier, they were lucky to get out of there with a 4-2 loss, I felt.
Yes, yes. It was just, that was the performance that we've been waiting for, like you said. It was the performances that we were putting in last year. Passes were finding people. Shots at goal were on target rather than Rose Ed.
Yeah, we're a tempo team, aren't we, Chris? When we play at a tempo, we're all on the same page. We are one hell of a side.
Yes.
Match for anybody, I feel.
Yes, yeah.
But it's when I'm like you, probably, when they play this slow, ponderous stuff across the back line and back to Casper and side-to-side football, it's very one-dimensional and easy. You know, the team set traps on us, and that's what they've been doing.
And I think with that, I mean, Brendan came out and said he thought he'd go back to playing high tempo and thinking, why did you stop?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It seems ludicrous that if you know that this works, and you know that Vardy and Iheanacho as a two up front work very well for us as a team, why haven't you, stopped doing it?
Yeah, it's like pressing the reset button, wasn't it, almost?
Yes, yeah. Turning us off and turning us back on again.
Yeah, absolutely.
But I tell you what, that performance turned me on, but maybe I need to get out more. It's the Europa League, and we're going to be talking about the away trip to Spartak Moscow straight after that.
On Leicester Till I Die TV. Please press those buttons on YouTube for more Leicester City content.
Our first trip to Russia as a club.
Indeed, yes. Interesting.
Yes, I mean, there's not many have gone over, but let's hope we count them all out and we count them all back in again.
Yeah, let's hope the legs back.
Yeah, and I mean, it's been an odd group so far, I think, to say the least. For some reason, we're looking at, you know, it's in Spartak, we say it's in Moscow, as we know, at the Stadion Spartak in Moscow. It's a 3:30 kickoff time As indeed was Celtic today. But I think that's because I'm guessing Lokomotiv Moscow have got a game the same day, possibly. But you know, there's a lot of people not going to be able to watch that.
Oh, there'll be a lot of tummy upsets tomorrow, sort of about 12-ish, I fancy.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. I'm going to have to go home, boss.
Yeah, a lot of annual leave being taken, probably.
Yes. Well, the problem is, what if you're a boss? You know, you can't. Oh, well. Sorry, guys. Carry on working. I'm off. I've had one of those bosses in the past, the bastard. You know. But I mean, you know, if we have a look at the, you know, this is how it stands at the moment. You know, you almost want to say that the table's upside down.
Well, I did think that earlier when I looked at it, Chris. I thought, you know, what odds would you get on, you know, the table looking like that after two rounds? It's just been a strange campaign so far.
Yeah. Do you think, I mean, obviously last time out, Moscow beat Napoli, so that shows that they're not, you know, I mean, having said that, we were 2-0 up and probably should have held on for the win ourselves.
But, I just hope we don't rue that, you know, losing that 2-goal lead in the first game, because we were bossing that game. I know the lad up front for Napoli was a handful, but we got that in the bag against what we all thought were going to be our most dangerous opponents in that group.
I mean, to be 2-0 up when we were, you're thinking, wow, here we go again. Because
but it was typical of our season, isn't it, where we've done it in patches but not seen it through the full 90.
Yes, yeah.
Where we've let it go.
That first, you know, 45 to me was, like you say, the Man United. And I'm just wondering if the Leicester post-Man United will make those same mistakes.
Mm. Yeah, well, we'll find out tomorrow, I guess, won't we?
Well, that is very true. Was it like stating the obvious? And thank you for that. but do you think Spartak Moscow, I mean, I first looked at it and thought, oh, they've done us a favour in beating Napoli.
Yeah, but the results, you just can't pick a winner at the minute, it seems. Yeah. I mean, I didn't think much of Warsaw, to be honest, but I thought less of us on the night.
Yes.
It's almost like we never showed up.
Mm.
And I feel it's a must-win game tomorrow, not just because of the situation in the Europa League, but to back up the Man U performance and win, we need to follow that up. I don't quite get, for me, and I know the argument, why we work so hard to get into the Europa League, wanted the Champions League, you end up in the Europa League, you get there, and then you make so many wholesale changes that it's hard to put a performance together. And it'll be interesting tomorrow what team he picks, because I do feel on the back of the Man U that I think if we show up, we win tomorrow. I'm that confident.
Yeah, but I think he's got to show up. I don't think he's got to make many changes.
I agree.
Maybe save the same changes for Brentford, because there are going to be certain players. Johnny Evans, we know, for one, that won't be able to play three games in a go.
Absolutely.
I keep wanting to say Vardy's getting older and he can't, but he keeps defying us all, so he probably can. But you are going to get those little knocks and what have you. So I think, you know, I've always been a fan of, you know, if it's not broken, why mend it, sort of thing. But
yeah, These lads will want to play, won't they? On the back of that performance, they'll all be itching to play.
Yes. Well, this is it as well. Good evening to Terry. How the devil are you, sir? Get my mouse to work. There we go. Terry Fuller of Sky here. Don't talk about Sky. It's on BT, by the way. It's on BT, not Sky. I agree with you totally on that one in regard to the changes. But the worrying thing is, in the last... when we were in the Champions League, and everybody, you know, I always wind, you know, other teams up. We were the last team that was, you know, last British team in the Champions League that season. You know, Arsene Wenger said we were going to embarrass Europe, and he got beaten.
Remember it well.
8 or 10-2 over two legs. Mm. But we had, let's be honest with you, we had an easiest group. You know, not, you know, you still got to beat who's out there, but we could have, you know, if we'd have picked it ourselves, we couldn't have done better.
True. And
same last year in the Europa League.
Yeah.
It wasn't a difficult group. West Ham have got that this year, and they will admit that they've got, you know, a very, very easy group, and it's one that they could have picked. Some people call this the group of death.
I wouldn't call it the group of death myself. Napoli, yes, obviously a quality side, proven as well. I suppose you could argue Spartak to a degree. Warsaw, I mean, all these teams are beatable. We've proven that by getting a two-goal lead on Napoli, but then let it slip. We never showed up against Warsaw. You know, and these games pass you by. You don't get two bites of a cherry. You've got to seize that moment, get the points in the bag. Warsaw, for me, I would have started a strong team and then brought the lads on, you know, the reserves on, if you like, the subs. But to me, you always start strong. And I felt too many changes in that game. We never got a rhythm. We never got going. We allowed them into the game. And then the crowd become a factor. And suddenly you're up against it. And that's how I felt that game played out.
And I agree with you. You know, if you're going to give, let's say, Evans 45 minutes because he, you know, of his injury, you give him the first 45.
I think it's
easier to hold on to a lead with your best players and then take your best players off than it is to have to bring your best players on to try and get that lead.
Turn it round. I quite agree.
That's probably what he did in against Warsaw.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think maybe he's learned a bit of a lesson from that as well. You know, and I do think there will be a few changes tomorrow, but I don't think there need to be wholesale changes. Quite what he goes with, I'm not quite sure. You never know. I mean, I look at the bench against Man U and we've got some quality on the bench now. You know, look, Barnes, neither got a look in. And when you think of the lads we've got to come back from injury as well, we've got a really decent squad now. And if we can still be in that Europa League come the new year, with those lads coming back from injury and the strength we've now got in depth, I don't see why we can't go far in the competition. We've just got to get the points on the board.
I'm going to ask you this then, because this is what I've been saying a lot to Man United fans at the start of the season and after the game, that you've just mentioned the squad that we've got, and we've been saying for a few years we haven't got the depth in squad, and when we tried to expand the squad after the Champions League, we probably didn't buy the best players. It's since come out, and I've been told Steve Walsh, as in not the player, the coach, didn't want Slimani, and he advised the club against buying Slimani, and they still did. But, you know, what we've got and bought now look like good purchases. I don't think at the moment we've got a bad purchase. Gazelle's gone, you know, all those players that you can say were a bit iffy, Kapuczka, none of them are there. And I said, this is the season, because Ollie's got the squad now, that if he doesn't get something, then that's going to be out. He's going to have to go. Now, I'm not saying Brendan's going to have to go, because we have different expectations to Man United. Yes. But there's no excuses this season, is there?
Well, I think that is a reasonable statement to make. We are relatively new to this top end of the table malarkey, aren't we? And the pressures that come with it, and the expectation of the fans rise, and everything that comes with it. Pressure from the press, pressure from the media. And there is a different mentality involved at that top end of the table. And it's still fairly new to us. And I think Brendan realises that, and probably why you get some of the inconsistencies you get. And we are a relatively young side, but we're a progressive side with a progressive manager. Everything points up. So I think we've just got to take a little bit of the rough with the smooth, but I think the future is very bright for us. We proved that last season winning the FA Cup, went so close for the second year running top four. We just need, you know, and who'd have thought that in our lifetime we'd be talking in this way.
So I think we have to be careful that pinching ourselves doesn't turn into self-abuse.
Right. Yeah, that's absolutely right. But fans are fans, you know. They want the very best, they expect the best, demand the best, and they've got every right, you know, to voice their disquiet if they're not happy. But I do think it's the best time ever, and I'm 57 in my life, to be a Leicester City supporter.
You're a spring chicken compared to me, sir. So.
Oh, there you go. I had a small paper round as a child.
Yeah, but didn't we all? But you're quite right. You know, you dream about these times, but then we're football fans, we're fickle, and the better you do, the more you want, you know.
Yeah.
Andrew says there he's certainly going to stack up some air miles in this group. Certainly are. He would go Nacho and Dak, and we'll come on to that in a bit up front. Yeah. And Dak approved, you know. I mean, it wasn't the most spectacular goal Dak has scored, but it had to be put in, you know.
I think that's a good shout. I think Nacho and Dak have shown quite a good understanding, and why not harness that and go with that? You know, Dak must be itching to play and start as well. Yes. Nacho's on fire, you know, and it's a chance to maybe impact Vardy if you need to, but you know, you've got to manage Vardy now. He's 34. He keeps surprising all of us, doesn't he?
Yes, yes.
But you've got to manage him. You have got to manage him to keep him at peak level performance. Yeah. So I'd go with Nacho and Deco.
Yeah, yeah. Talking about being on fire, hello to Maisie from Devils United. She likes to set fire to garlic bread. That's another story. She's also a Man United fan, and I think she's come on tonight because I think she feels safe that we're not going to mention 4-2.
Oh, she's brave. Bless her. She's brave. Oh, and thanks for the 80 million, by the way.
Yeah, indeed. Pay for the training ground. Hey, if you do like football, she obviously does Man United shows, but she does a lot of general football shows. She's done a couple of recently about who the best manager ever has been. Get on over to Devils United TV on YouTube and give Maisie some support there. She's a great gal and does a lot with the with our own channel here.
Hello, Maisie.
Talking of, because we're going to have a look at Moscow now, not as in a tourist way, I should just say before we start that if you actually go on to our website, LesterTillIDie.com, there's another slash there, Moscow, Russian football specialist, and I'm you're going to laugh now because you know what I'm like. I can't pronounce anything if it's not Smith and Jones. Hmm. But Russian football specialist, Toki Thilade, give me 10 out of 10 for effort.
Yeah, that was decent, that.
Editor-in-chief at www.vilfortpark.dk, which is a big Russian website, takes a closer look at the Moscovite outfit and gives you the lowdown on our upcoming opponents. So it's really good. It's a really in-depth session that he's done on that page for us. And I say he's the founder and editor-in-chief there at vilfortpark.dk. A lot of information. And the last bit that he does, and let me just get rid of that so we can see Dean's beautiful face again. There we go. The last bit that he did on that is, what can Leicester expect from the Russians? And when I actually Googled images for Spartak Moscow, that picture of a guy holding a gun with the flag came up for the the Moscow ultras. I mean, you know, we have European football. We put a flag out with a fog on, with a fox on. They put a flag out with a guy holding a gun.
Well, there you go. And it'll be bloody cold as well, I'm sure.
Well, it will be. Yes, yeah. Don't pee in the streets. You'll have to snap it off. But you know, if there's trouble there, that we're going to get the blame anyway, don't you? So,
I did read earlier, I don't know how true this is, that we've sold 25 tickets.
In fairness, though, let's be honest with you. As European tours go,
oh yeah,
Moscow in October is not probably one that you would choose.
That's called the short one.
Yeah, yeah. Maisie, you're quite right. I am the best. It's just something that I've got to bear. You know, it's a cross I have to bear. It's not the one. It's not the one you would choose to go to. And I think as well, would I want to take my son to that game if I'd got a young son? Exactly. Exactly, yeah. You know.
No. I praise the 25 that are going. You know, take my hat off to them. I really do. That's what you call hardcore.
It is. It is because you know. Well, look what happened. You know, in games recently. You know, with England. I didn't know Hungary fans were that bad, but you know. There we go.
Well, so,
are they to be feared? Let's ask you that question. Are they to be feared?
What a question. I mean, they're seventh in their league at the moment. I can tell you that. They've got a total of, they're seventh, as I say. They're only 6 points off top, but seventh they lie. Played 11. Is that what you're looking at there? Played 11.
I'm trying to get it up. It's one of these. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. There it is for all to see. 1-5, drawn 2, lost 4. So their season is a little bit like ours, I feel. I mean, they are the record holder in terms of titles won in Russia, which stands at 22. But they sit down in seventh. So I think, like us, they've had a bit of a mixed start, which is reflected in their Europa League campaign so far. I mean, losing to Warsaw, you wouldn't have predicted at home. You certainly wouldn't have predicted them beating Napoli away. And they drew 2-2, I think, at the weekend with two very late goals to pull them back from the brink. So, again, very in and out. So, yes, a dangerous opponent, but so are we. As I say, I feel if we go there with our A game, I think we'll beat them.
I do think there's going to be goals, though. Well, I mean, we haven't kept a clean sheet all season.
Yeah.
And looking at it, Moscow probably have only kept one, if not two. Because they've scored 13, but they've conceded 10. So they're not, you know, good at keeping clean sheets either.
That's
so
right.
There's going to be goals, I think.
Oh, yeah, I think absolutely. And the thing about these European games, as you probably noticed more in the Warsaw game, is how much of an effect the crowd can have on the game. I mean, Warsaw, the atmosphere was incredible. And it does come to bear. But from what I understand, it's got a 45,000 capacity ground, but we don't know with the COVID rules how many, if any, will be let in. As I say, the information has come late with the Leicester fans, which is why I think the uptake is only 25, because there was all this uncertainty about whether you were even going to be allowed to travel.
Yes.
I don't know whether there's going to be a crowd in there or not, you know, trying to influence proceedings. At this stage, I can't find out whether, you know, with the COVID regs protocols in place, what will happen as regards to that. So it could be a great atmosphere. It could be very eerie.
I'm being probably totally unfair to these people, but it is going to be a fiery atmosphere, as you say. And I'm kind of looking at the officials for the game, and it's the VAR officials are also Greek. It doesn't fill me with confidence, and I might be being totally unfair and looking and going, oh, Greek officials, you know, but it doesn't fill me with that, you know, with total confidence that they're going to put a firm stamp on the game.
What was his name again, Chris?
Oh, hang on one second. It's him there.
Yeah, that one at the top.
Yeah, one at the top. That's it. You know. Hey, if I say the first one, you can say the other three.
He could never be a player, could he? Not with that long a name on his back.
I tell you what, they'd make a fortune in shirt sales, wouldn't they? but yeah, and I'll say I'm probably being totally unfair, but I think we are going to need him to be strong.
But there's a difference again, isn't there, with the European to the Premier League, the way these games are refereed, it's a completely different game altogether.
Yes.
There is a change in mindset that has to be for these games.
Yeah. Now, are you ready for the joke of the day here?
Go on then.
Because Andrew says, it's 3 degrees in Moscow. When will I see you again?
Oh, dear. God.
When will I see you again? I don't know what was worse there, the singing or the joke.
Shall we carry on?
I thought they'd retired. well, it's a bit like getting Madonna on the Eurovision Song Contest. Ooh, when it's getting 3 degrees half-time entertainment in the match. Sorry, you know me. It was an open net. I had to go for it. And I can just say, Terry's not an awful lot better. So the Russians do not understand it when we say the UK fired a manager. They put them up against the wall and shoot.
Well, they're pausing them these days, don't they?
Yes, yeah. Well, coming up later, we've got a special section, and we're going to look at the top 10 facts about diarrhea. Yeah. I've got to be honest with you, number two will surprise you.
Really?
Number two, diarrhea. Sorry. That was shit, wasn't it?
Quickly moving on.
We're losing viewers. The form, recent form. Moscow a little bit more in form than we are, but I think what is important is, I mean, they've won three, drawn one, but they've lost their last one. Now, we've won our last one. And it does make a difference, I think, doesn't it?
Bit of momentum, yeah. For us, I mean, it's just it was so long overdue, that performance. You know, I've been crying out for it from the start of the season. And to do it against a supposed top four rival and put a marker down, I think, as I say, certain players not being involved, be it tactical, I suppose it was, with Barnes and every, you know, a lot of people wanted Luckman to play, but, you know, credit to Brendan, he put a team out there to do a job, and it certainly did that and more.
Do you think Luckman, and I want to get excited by him, but I'm a bit worried after I got excited about Under, that he, you know, he had a couple of good games and then disappeared for the rest of the season. But Luckman seems to have played better when he's come on as a sub than when he started. Or is that, do you think, just sort of an indictment of how the team is playing at the moment?
Yeah, I think it is. I think it really is. The lad, if I remember rightly, started against Burnley and was our top player. If you remember, that's the when Brendan was booed when he made the substitution.
Yes.
So I think I like Luckman. I do. He's young, you know, any player that gets you off your seat because he's prepared to run at somebody. These days, team set up, banks of four, and they're hard to break down. A lot of sideways stuff. You need somebody with the ability to go past somebody to break up that bank. And he's that player for me. Yes. Do like him.
Lots Andrew, yes, I don't have a day job, which is why I do this at the moment. So I have to rely on making money from my jokes.
Yeah, he's not a comedian, no, he's either.
No. I'm off down the food bank later. Luckman, do you think, had we not had to go out and buy Vestergaard, and let's be honest with you, I think had Fofana not got injured, I don't think we would have done. Because I think Fofana would have been the cover until Evans, you know, was had come back from his injury. Having to find that 15 million for Vestergaard, which we probably, I don't think, necessarily had, if that not happened, do you think we would have bought Luckman rather than loan him?
I don't even know whether we would have bought Luckman, you know, because they've managed to get him on loan. They maybe would have gone out and spent that money they spent on Vestergaard towards a winger. Who knows? Yes. All I can say is I'm happy with Luckman. You know, he's on a loan, I think, with a view to buy. Yes, and he's doing nothing to dissuade me at the moment from buying the lad.
No. Terry says there, Luckman comes on with fresh legs, so looks even quicker than normal compared with flagging players. I still like him. Probably. Yeah. And this is what I see Vardy eventually doing.
Yeah, you impact.
Can't play 90 minutes coming on as that impact sub, indeed. Yeah. There's a poll going on at the moment on UEFA.com on the Spartak Leicester page. 27% of people think Spartak Moscow are going to win. 5% think it's a draw, and 68% think Leicester. Okay. That could be me because I've been going on and off it all day, clicking on Leicester. But I guess we. Do we go in as favourites, do you think?
Oh, it's a difficult one. The Europa League's a different kettle of fish, isn't it? And we've not hit the ground running in that. But then neither have they. You know, I think it's all up for grabs tomorrow. But as I said to you earlier, I think if we come with our A game and a strong team on the park, I think we win. It's as simple as that. What you've got to be aware of course, is the school duggery that goes on in these Europa games. You know, they're hitting the deck at the most minuscule touch, you know, and a weak referee in a big crowd and, you know, gives a silly penalty and suddenly you're 1-0 down and your back's up against it. That's always the danger in these games.
We've been there, haven't we?
Yeah, we have. That's right, you know. But I just feel if we can dominate possession at pace, not this slow, ponderous stuff, and get at them, I think there's goals to be had, as proven by their league record. You know, they don't keep a clean sheet, but then again, neither do we.
No. Do you think the guys are holding out for a pizza again?
I think first goal could be key tomorrow. With two teams that concede goals, I think first goal could be key. If we can get that goal, it sets us up nicely to just counter on them at will.
I could be wrong here, but was the Man United game the first time this season we've actually come back and won from... Well, we've only won... three games, haven't we? But we've come back from being a goal down.
I'm not sure, and I don't care. It was Man U, and I'll cling on to that.
Fair enough.
I'll cling on to it. I felt when they scored their goal that it was against the run of play. So, no, I think we stood strong, stayed strong, true to our principles. And I think a big factor again, although I thought he was looking to get a pick, was Maddison had his best game in longer than I can remember.
Didn't he just? Didn't
playing
he just,
between the lines, yeah. You know, I thought he had a super game, and it's long overdue from him, as it probably is everybody else. Yeah. And I just hope he can kick on now.
That was the Maddison of old, wasn't it?
Yeah, not seen it for a long while, and only in fits and starts last season with that injury. So I hope that's behind him now and he can concentrate on his football.
Indeed, indeed. Terry and David, I'm going to come to your comments in a second when we sort of do talk more about the team. Mr. Numbers and Letters, hi, good evening. I'm not even going to attempt that. How the devil are you, sir? Welcome along. We discussed the table before. I mean, last time out, you know, it was 3-2. So it wasn't, you know, the fact that Spartak nicked a win, you know, it was as in, you know, a 1-0er that, you know, they got three past Napoli, which I think, like you said, it maybe shows that Napoli, we're giving them maybe too much credit because of the name and the history. You know, we put two past them. Moscow put two past them. And as we know, in the other game, Warsaw beat us. But looking at the table as it stands, after tomorrow, we're halfway through.
Yeah.
I'm getting a feeling it's a must-win game.
Yeah, I did think that earlier. I think it's long overdue. You know, three games into this tournament, you've got to stick a win on there to have any chance, I think, of progressing. And I don't see any reason why we shouldn't win tomorrow. I don't see any reason why we can't get out of that group. We just need some consistency of performance and results. And I think we'll be fine. And I'd just say I hope Saturday was the turning point for us.
Yes. Yeah. I think, fingers crossed. I hope you are. I mean, if we win, just looking at it there, we go. We will go over Moscow, whatever happens in the other game.
A draw would
be good in the other game, I guess.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Or even, in fairness, a Napoli win wouldn't be the worst result because it would rein Warsaw in.
Back, yeah, that's right.
You know.
We've
got to remember, I think, that the winner of the group goes through to the last 16. Whoever's in second, and this is the problem, then has to play whoever's dropped down from the Champions League.
Yes.
To get into the last 16, you know, which I think is totally and utterly unfair.
Yeah.
And then if we finish third, I believe we drop down into the conference. So
the FA Vars.
Well, you know, I mean, I've got to be honest with you, and I know everybody's sort of knocked the conference, but to me, it's still European football. You know, I mean, I don't agree with it because Man United could have ended up winners of the Europa League by failing drastically in the Champions League. And I think it is wrong, but it's giving the what so-called bigger teams, I guess, UEFA look at it, a second bite at the cherry and keeps them in on the telly for them and what have you.
Yeah, it's revenue. But yeah, of course it is.
I am worried that actually topping the group now is beyond us. We've made it really difficult for ourselves. Or do you think we can still top the group?
Well, I think anybody in this group is capable of beating anybody. This is the thing. There's been so many inconsistencies with it. I know, as I say, Sparta went and won in Napoli. I believe Napoli had a man sent off in that game, which no doubt would have contributed to the win or helped, certainly. But as I say, if we put our A game out there, we beat all of these teams based on Saturday's performance. But again, we've not showed up yet. And will we show up? It's a long trek to Russia. I just pray for the 3 points tomorrow and then suddenly things will start to look a lot better.
I've just spilt water everywhere. It's my age, you know, the colostomy bag's overflowed. And I'm being serious, I'm not taking the piss. Hey, here we go, another one. You blink and you miss them. it's my toilet humour. We've got a few people in the chat going, that they don't think Leicester's gonna win. Well, you know, we've surprised a few people before with our results, 2015-16 for one. So let's not Oh, Andy, now come on, you're making me look good. We must go over there and win.
Oh, I'm going to sign off in a minute, you pair.
God almighty. Oh, a cannon and ball, mate. And I'm certainly not balls. I think you are. But anyway, let's move on. I mean, anything else you have on Moscow there that you can fill us in on?
Well, as I say, they've got a 45,000 capacity ground, but who knows how many is going to be in there. And that could be a factor, unquestionably. You know, if there's 45,000 in there screaming the place down, then it's a big different to it being half full or nobody in there at all, apart from our 25 Leicester fans in the corner. Yes.
Yeah.
They've got a Portuguese manager. I don't think he's overly popular. His appointment certainly wasn't overly popular. Their record is mixed, very much so. As I say, played 11 league games, 5 wins, 4 losses, which shows the inconsistency. Goals for 13, goals against 10. You know, it's comparable. The Europa League form, they've played 2, won 1, lost 1. So mixed again. Lost to Legia at home. I'm sure that's a game they would have fancied themselves to win. And then perversely went and beat Napoli 3-2 away.
Yes, yeah.
So it just shows the inconsistencies in the group. They've got a couple of players that we need to keep our eye on. Quincy Promise, who's been around European football quite a while, 29-year-old forward, rejoined them actually in 2021 after first signing for them in 2014, so he's obviously aware of the league. Made his name primarily at Ajax and Sevilla. Overall, he's 17 appearances this season, 5 goals. So, bit of a threat. 6 league games, 2 goals so far. So, we'd have to keep our eye on him. I recognised the name when I saw it.
Has he played in England at all?
No.
He seems to ring a bell. Has he not?
No, he's not. Yeah. But he's a Dutch international. So, that's probably, you know, the name's been around for quite a while. He's 29 now.
Right.
He is an interesting one. Jordan Larsson, Henrik's son, plays for them up front.
I read that, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Is he as good as his dad?
His dad was a hell of a player, wasn't he?
Yes.
He's 24. Yeah. His record is 22 goals in 64 games. So you could argue one every 3. And he was last season's top goal scorer with 15.
Wow.
So, want to keep an eye on in a team that has recently been leaking goals.
Yes, yes.
And there's a name, a blast from the past here. Victor Moses plays for them.
Now that I do, yes, yes. Is he still going?
He's still going. He's only 30.
Are they going to get the wheelchair out for them? But then again, he's a spring chicken next to Jamie Vardy. Isn't
absolutely,
he?
Absolutely. He signed for them permanently in 2021. Has no goals since signing for them.
Well,
we all know he plays right side. So he could be a threat. We know he's capable of, rampaging down that wing. But I suppose it depends on what formation they play. They are, the coach is known to favour, I believe, a 4-2-3-1. But they have mixed it up in their Europa League games. They have played a 3-5-2 against Napoli, so obviously flooded the midfield. But against Legia, Legia played a 3-4-3. So they can mix it up. Brendan likes to change his formations round and mix it up. It seems to be the modern way.
It does make it hard, though, when you're trying to, like, plan against them, isn't it? Because he said the other day, Brendan, like, you know, he does change depending who he's playing.
Yeah.
And you look at that and thinking, but yeah, what are they going to put out?
What's he going to go with? Yeah, that's right. Yes. But the key is their centre-back is suspended. Max Kofriez, I think is how you say it. He's unavailable. Sorry, he was sent off. Apologies, but it's Napoli. He was sent off, so misses this game. So that could be a Brucey bonus for us if we can get at them. The danger for them from set pieces is Samuel Guigo, who is a French defender, 6'2". His goal record is 1 in 7, which is quite good for a centre-half. So yes, he obviously poses a threat.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to have to be mindful of that.
Yeah.
So he's obviously a presence at both ends of the park. And, of course, Russians have to have an obligatory Brazilian in their team, do they not? So they have a left-back called Ayrton Lucas, who is 24. Oh. That's all I know of him. He's not an international.
No.
But they do tend to pluck the Brazilians, the Russians do, for some reason.
Yes. I thought when you said that, being a Russian team, you know that they're going to be drugged up. But allegedly, don't let me say, don't let me taint Russian football with
Russian
athletics or Olympics or track and field and say that they're all drugged up. Far be it for me to say that. Ferocious Flame, are you a Moscow fan? I can't tell from the name. You're not one I've seen on the Leicester chat before. He says Leicester could win, but they won't, and we don't live in the past. No, live in the last game that you lost and our last game that we won, mate. Take it from there.
There you go.
Wolverhampton Wanderers FC, good evening. Leicester will lose 5-0, will we? I think we might be like the 1-0, like we beat you at the first game of the season. Remember that, eh?
Yeah.
Wolves. I'm talking about, you talked about Moscow, and you mentioned like a few different formations there. What do you think Leicester are going to put out? What do you think Brendan's going to go for? Does he stick with basically what was it? Well, I always say a 3-5-2, but I think a 3-5-2 is exactly the same as a 5-3-2. It just changes when you're attacking or defending.
Whether you've got the ball or not, doesn't it?
Yes, yeah. Or does he go back to a 4-4-2?
I kind of like us with this 3-5-2. I think we've got the personnel for it. Worries me if we play 4 and he plays Amati. Amati looks so much more comfortable in a 3.
Yes.
I think that's...
He had a good game, didn't he?
He had a super game. And for me, Amati is a confidence player. I've always rated the lad. He's just never managed to achieve a run of games. And when he has done, he gets injured.
Yes.
I remember when he unfortunately broke his leg against West Ham a couple of seasons ago. It was in bang in the middle of a great run of form. He was playing ever so well, and then bad injury put him out for a long while. But I think we've got to go 3-5-2. I really do. And then you can get your Daka and Nacho up top.
Yeah.
It's a settled formation. The players seem happy with it. And it's quite fluid, the 3-5-2. I think Madison picks the lines, between the lines, and Samare, what a signing he's been, this lad. I think he can go on and on and on, this boy. He's got it all. He's so strong, such a physical presence in that midfield. I do like him, and I think him and Tielemans have something going there. I mean, it says something to me that we didn't miss Wilfred on Saturday.
Yes.
And I think that's full credit to Samare. Whether he plays him tomorrow, who knows? He might play Hamza. Who knows? It's hard to second guess, Brendan.
It is. I mean, Amati, he's still young. He's not,
he's
still only mid-20s. And we go on and on and on about Vestergaard. I mean, how high is Vestergaard? Is he 6'2", 6'3"?
No, he's about 6'7", I think.
Is he taller than I probably thought? Because again, Amati's 6'1", so he's no short ass.
No,
himself.
But the key to that back three is Evans, isn't it? Let's face it.
Yes.
And it's whether he plays or not.
Yeah, 6'6". Sorry, yeah, 6'6" is Vestergaard.
Yeah,
Ant, I agree with you. Welcome along. Check out Ant's Leicester fan channel. Another Leicester channel well worth checking out. I'm thinking we're going to be cooperating with in a show towards the end of the month. It for me, and I'm no manager, but more than being a fan manager, I think we've just got to stick with the same starting 11. I really do.
I think it's a must-win game. We've got to go out there with a positive intention, and this chopping and changing, I don't think it does us any favours. I really don't. You're starting from scratch again. The lads must be buzzing from Saturday. They must want to itching to get on the park again. So just let them go.
Yeah.
Let them go.
Yeah, exactly. Andrew, Jesus Christ, that's a bad joke.
Oh, I've just seen it.
Yeah. Jesus. Sorry, I shouldn't that is bad. That is bad in biblical proportions, I'll tell you.
I don't know. I think Evans is the key, isn't he? I think Evans is the key. If he plays three, if he doesn't, it's squeaky bum time. It's such an important player.
It is. I think
look how much better
if we don't win. If we don't win tomorrow, I think we are definitely off. We're not going to get the top spot. I would go for the three, get stuck into them from minute one and silence their loud fans. My only worry is, because Evans did come off at the end of the game.
Cramp, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. So do we... For me, there's an argument that says you've got to get him in there because we just do play so much better with him. With him in the team. But is it a risk playing a game? And it's Wednesday, not Thursday. It's a day earlier than normal. Mm. Do we risk him? And I'm not decrying Brentford here. And if there's any Brentford fans watching, you know, I'm going to say. You know, I'm not putting you down. I love what you've done, and you were my favourites to stay up out of the three that came up. But you've got to say on paper, you would look and think, well, Brentford might be easier than Moscow. So do we start Vestergaard against Moscow and Evans, save Evans for Brentford? Or do we put Evans on against Moscow because it is almost like a must-win game? And then if he's not fit, we'll put Vestergaard on.
It's a difficult one, isn't it? I mean, damned if you do, damned if you don't. If he doesn't play him and we lose, he's going to get lambasted. And if he starts him and he comes off injured, he's going to get lambasted.
Yeah, exactly.
Personally,
he'd be a football manager.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Personally, I'd go with him. You can only play what's in front of you. If he's fit, play him.
Yeah.
And if he...
Ant says there he can only play once a week, Evans, he wouldn't risk him. But Yeti Boy, he would agree with Ant and bring Dakar and Vestergaard instead of Evans and Vardy, which is a fair shout. I would only change Vardy with Dakar to give him a rest, so Vardy is fully available for Brentford. And David, I agree with Ant and also Chris. Leave Evans for Premier League game versus Brentford. I mean, it is.
Who knows?
It's such a difficult choice, isn't it?
It wouldn't surprise me if he went 4-4-2 and played Barnes and Luckman.
Well, that was a question that came up, and I didn't bring it up. I was saving it for later. When you look at the game on Saturday, how can you that played so well without Barnes and Luckman? You know, not even coming on as subs. But we do know they are two fantastic players. So do you bring them in because they didn't play and therefore they will be fitter? Because
that's
at the end of the day, that's why we've got the squad that we now have, because we have got all these extra games. So, you know, you've got to play them.
Yeah, it'll be a real interesting team selection tomorrow. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I, for one, am struggling to second guess what Brendan will do. But I will bow to his greater knowledge. And,
yes,
you know, he's with the players every day, with the physios and all the rest of it. I'm sure he wants to win tomorrow. I think he knows he's got to win tomorrow if they want to progress in the competition. And I think the team selection will be an indication of whether he's prepared to lose or he really wants to go for the win.
Yeah. You get nothing if you just go out and play for a 0-0, do you? You've got to go for it and get the two goals up and then hopefully not do a Napoli. Kyle, hi Kyle, thanks for joining us. How the devil are you? I'm just glad I'm not a manager at times like this, but I have a feeling that, I mean, my disappointment was, and I get why, but there was no Mendy. Although, is Mendy in the European squad?
I don't think he is, is he? I don't think he's in at all. I watched him against, went to the under-23s about 3 weeks ago, played at the KP, and he was bloody awful.
Was he?
Yeah, he was subbed. Now, I don't know whether he was coming back from injury. I think maybe he was coming back from injury, so the game was a bit too quick for him. I think it was, I knew that appointment. But I do know that he was taken off No, sorry, it was Leeds. It was Leeds.
Right. I mean, all I can say for me is I know at the start of last season when we didn't have Ndidi that he filled in very...
Absolutely. Yeah, did a sterling job.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
And it was like a new signing. And Choudhury, we know he's petulant. You know, we know he likes a party when he's not supposed to. Yeah. And we also know, like you say, he's got a red card in him. But he can have some good games, and I think sometimes when you know with that sort of player, when you don't necessarily notice them is when they're having a good game.
Yeah.
I just have a feeling, and I want Samari to start. I think he should, because these players, a lot of them should be able to play a couple of games.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, in a week, but at least I'd like to see him start, because I do think he's got that experience. And let's be honest with you, we are now playing in Europe. And yes, I know, you know, there's one or two players in there that have got European experience, but you've got Daka and you've got Samari, who spent their career in European leagues, that probably know it, in fairness, a little bit better than maybe the Dewsbury Halls, the Choudhurys, etc.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fair comment. I really do. I've got a funny feeling he'll play Barnes tomorrow, whether that's whether that's up top or out, I don't know. But I think the performance on Saturday has put a marker down to these lads that are not in the side that you've got to show up when selected. And Barnes has been a bit... I'm a big Barnes fan, but he's been a bit wishy-washy this season. And I know he's coming back from injury and all the rest of it. A bit in and out. But, you know, that's the marker there now. Saturday was the marker. You want to place him that side, you've got to turn up.
And so, I think... Had, let's say, we beaten Norwich on Saturday and not Man United, I don't think you... It's awful to say this, and no disrespect to Norwich, but I think the fact that they played like they did against Man United, as bad as maybe Man United were, then, you know, that's put more of a marker down than if we'd, you know, played a Norwich or a Newcastle or somebody like that.
Yeah, oh, I agree. No, entirely. It's you've not just beaten, you know, you've beaten world-class players. Let's face it, Manu have got, they would certainly say world-class players in every position.
Yeah.
Some may beg to differ in some positions. But, you know, it's a wealthy club. It's a big club, there's no doubt. And to beat them 4-2, not just beat them 4-2, it's the manner of the performance. You know, we put a marker down there. And now we've got to live up to that hype we've created for ourselves almost, haven't we? We've got to deliver.
Exactly.
Pressure on ourselves.
Apparently, I'm just seeing breaking news. Again, unfortunately, bad news, but Evans is injured.
Is he?
Apparently, he's damaged his hip because he'd got Ronaldo in his pocket all game. And it's weighted him down. Bum bum, thank you. Here all night.
Hey, God. There's no hope for you.
You don't come on often, and when you do, you regret it.
Oh. see you in another couple of months after the therapy.
Yes. Ant says here, beating you. I think it could be. I mean, I think, and we know as football fans, you always have these false dawns, but I do honestly think that could be the line in the sand, the turning point, the start of the season, whatever you want to call it. I hope it is anyway.
Yeah, there's no reason why it couldn't be. There's no reason why it shouldn't be either.
No.
We should be full of it. Absolutely full of it going across there tomorrow.
Yeah. The people do say I'm full of something, but I don't know exactly.
No, we did that one earlier.
we did indeed. Yes. But apparently you do have to be careful with diarrhea because, you know, it is hereditary.
Oh.
Yeah, it runs in your jeans.
Bum bum.
It runs in your jeans. Yeah, okay. Right, sir. Thank you so much for tonight.
Welcome.
Score predictions. I mean, there's been a lot going up, but I think they were from Moscow and Wolves fans, so you can't really take any credence by then.
I think there'll be a goal in it, 1-0 or 2-1.
Yeah. I have a feeling that if he doesn't start Evans, even if he does start Evans, I think... We just can't keep a clean sheet at the moment. So I think Terry says that Evans joke has just been voted joke of the season. Thank you. Thank you, Terry. You see, I have a fan. And I must admit, that's how I usually stay cool at a football match, by standing next to a fan. yeah. So I think Leicester will concede. I just think we're struggling with the back four we have at the moment and the constant changes to keep a clean sheet. So I think they will score. I'm going to go, like you say, a 2-1, I think. Terry's gone. He got me going.
I'm going.
Good. I'm here to please.
Ant's gone 3-1. I like Ant's optimism.
Yeah, he's completely ignoring my joke, which is probably the best thing to do. I'm one half of Morecambe and Wise, but unfortunately not the funny half. Whatever, as we all say, it is definitely a must win.
If we can't be confident after what we've done to Manu at the weekend, then when can we?
Exactly. That is the point in question. You know, we should be going into this game on a high, you know, with people should be knocking each other out on training to be part of the team.
Part of the 11, absolutely. You know? Yeah.
And even those players that, like you said, the Barnes and the Luckmans, they should be looking at it going, shit.
That's right.
How are we going to get back into this, you know? But
yeah,
Brendan will earn his money tomorrow night.
Be interesting team selection for sure, and I think that'll tell us a lot.
I think we could all be sat here with our head in our hands, unfortunately. But hey, Brendan's done us be like that before, you know.
He has.
It's why he gets paid the big book. David, thank you very much for coming on. Thank you very much for putting... David, what am I saying? That's because I've just had David's comments up. Yeah, who's David? Half these jokes are going over my head, not because I'm 5'7". Dean, thank you so much for coming
You're
on.
Welcome.
Thank you even more for putting up with my bad jokes. Oh. Well, I don't think they're bad, but, you know, then again, I wouldn't, would I?
I'm going for a beer now. You've driven me to drink.
I have this effect on people. Don't know why. Dean, mate, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Fingers crossed for tomorrow.
There's a lot of people aren't going to be able to watch it, so try and get some headphones in or something if you can, sir. But thank you very much. Yeah,
fingers crossed,
like you say. Yeah, and indeed. We will speak again when you've had your therapy.
All the best. Take care.
Take care. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, cheers. All the best, bye. Mate.
Thanks to Dean there. Louise, hey, how the devil are you? Joining us at the end. Thank you very much. Terry, we're going off for a nap. We're on a night shift tonight with somebody called Julian. We are. I'm back for Julian's my sloppy seconds tonight. Please don't tell him. Don't tell him that, please. But he is my sloppy seconds tonight. And diarrhea, is that... Chris Rhea, sister. No, I tell you what, Chris Rhea did win bottom of the year once. Rhea, bottom of... Yeah, oh no, exactly. Oh no. Where do I get my jokes from? Because whoever it is, burn the book. As Terry did say there, we're going to be back with this, he says, if you can find it, just in a bit. It is 9 o'clock. We will be back. So I've just got time to go off and have my number two and get ready. Coming back. It's my favourite show of the week. I'm not going to lie. X on the pitch. So clever came up with that one. X on the pitch. Julian Watts, ex Leicester City defender. We will be looking at things from a professional point of view, which is completely different to how we see things as a fan. Two topics tonight. Sorry, I'm just reading your joke, Andrew. That's awful. I'm not even going to go there. Two topics tonight. First of all, Brendan Rodgers coming out and saying, not interested in Newcastle. I'm happy at Leicester. Get on with everybody. We're just in the middle of a plan. It's nice to have a manager come out. It's nice to have your manager come out and say that he wants to stop at the club. So that's the first topic. The second topic, a little game we had at the weekend that we beat Man United 4-2. We'll be talking about that. I think we're going to enjoy that. Why not? We could talk about that probably for the rest of the season, to be honest with you, up there with the 5-3. And of course, the third topic is your questions. Any questions you have for him as a ex-player? Andrew, go on. I will put it up there. I hope we don't freeze on the night. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Guys, thanks for joining us. Thanks for joining in as well. Thanks for putting up with my jokes. If you want to listen to this back, it's on YouTube channel, Leicester Till I Die TV. Please get over there and press the subscribe button. It really, really does help us. And like the video, smash the likes. You don't think that does much, but it does actually help the channel as well. So the likes button on YouTube. If you want to listen to us rather than watch our gorgeous faces, then please again do that. Podcast, we're on all the main podcasts. We are on Spotify, Amazon Music, Apple iTunes, Google, Anchor, and Podcast Addict, just to name a few. And if you want to use your smart speaker, just ask it to play the podcast Leicester Till I Die, and you have to say the podcast to bring it up. Don't forget, coming up soon, we've got a new quiz. Yes, we have. That might be a clue, or it might not be. Are you watching it? But there's a new quiz coming really soon to Leicester Till I Die. More about that as we get closer. Thanks for watching, guys. I'll see you in 53 minutes. Take care. Stay safe. Good night now.
Hello, Matt Elliott here. Be sure to watch Leicester Till I Die TV on YouTube and follow all their social media platforms for the latest updates and news on Leicester City Football Club.
Leicester Till I Die.
Subscribe, like, follow, and join in now.